Well, God bless you all in the wonderful name of Jesus Christ, and God truly is blessing our lives as we endeavor to keep him first, as we look to him in every situation. And when we look at our family life and the fruit that God is blessing us with, it's just wonderful. And we determine every day to put God first in our lives to the best of our ability, knowing that, you know, we are sons and daughters of the Most High God, that we're filled with his Spirit, and that we're favored, we're loved, we're blessed, and God has given us everything that we need to live this life content and thankful, like Kim taught on Thursday. And I've just been looking at what God has been doing in our life lately, like my son Danny. He's been blessed with a very good job and a new skill in tiling, and he's taken some courses and he's passed them, and God's opening up new doors and avenues for him. Leanne is due a baby, her second baby, in September the 28th, and it's going to be a baby boy, healthy and strong. And God is just so good. And we just this morning met my other son Carl's girlfriend, first girlfriend he's brought home, and she's a really wonderful lady from Wales and has a great heart. And and Maya's doing really well, her birthday's coming up, and the ministry that God has given us to minister and bless people around us is really taking off. People are connecting, new people are coming and connecting on the Skype also. And we've also got older people that are coming back that have been away, but not away from God, but maybe away from the fellowship, and they're desiring to really move with God. So great things are happening. And when we put our expectations on God, when we put him first and endeavor to live this life that he's given us, God has given us freely all things to enjoy. And when we start to find out his wisdom, his understanding on how to really live the life that he's called us to, and when we begin to practice and do those things that he's showing us, then, you know, the fruit of that starts to come through and it starts to blossom and manifest. Just like if we sow a seed, we know that first of all the seed grows down to get some root there, and as it begins to grow, it also then pushes through the ground, and then we can start to see the fruit in front of us. We can start to see that plant grow and develop and then blossom and bear its fruit. And so whatever we're sowing in our life will produce a fruit, whether that's negative or positive. But God wants us to sow his wisdom, his words, and by our actions as well, and to live his word and to be a blessing. He really wants us blessed, and God wants you prosperous as well. Really, prosperity is from God, and it's all wrapped up there in that gift of Christ. It's all through his word. And when we appropriate the word of God in our lives, when we start to practice his principles, his spiritual laws, when we start to get his word in our heart and change the image of how we see ourselves, and then we start to see ourselves as Christ. We don't see ourselves as the world. We don't listen to the voice of the world no more, but we listen to the voice of the shepherd. And we do those things that are pleasing in God's sight. When we follow what God says, when we follow after, when we pursue God, then he opens up to us the treasures of his understanding and wisdom. He gives us knowledge, he gives us wisdom, he gives us understanding, and most importantly, as we're practicing and as we're learning, we gain insight. And we need all four of them: knowledge, wisdom, understanding, and insight. They complement one another. And when we start to walk in God's wisdom and insight, having his understanding and being practical, then we should start to see things change in our life. We'll have that peace which passeth all understanding. And God's heart is for all his people to prosper and that our lives go well. See, God is a great father, and he does not give to one and then withhold from another. But sometimes it may seem like that when we look at others who may be doing well in their lives and then others who may not be doing so well in their lives. But God wants it to go well with you in your relationships, in your business, in your health, in your finances, in your walk with him, and in your fellowship with other people and your service to others. And I want to go to the scriptures and see what God has to say. We're going to go to the Old Testament records as well as the New, and we're going to just see God's wisdom and heart. And this is where we begin. You know, and God's filled us with his Spirit, and that Spirit opens up the understanding of the truths and gems that God's recorded for us if we desire. You know, first of all, we got to have a desire to receive the things that God has freely given us. And then we have to have a passion to live and to pursue the things that God has made available and to live unto him. And it's by his grace that we're saved. It's not through our own personal work, but it's through his grace, his mercy, that we allow God to go to work in our lives by trusting him and letting him lead our paths. You know, he's ordered our steps in his word. And I want to start off in Acts 10, verse 34 and 35. And it says here, "Then Peter opened his mouth and said, of a truth I perceive that God is no respecter of persons, but in every nation," okay, UK, Europe, Asia, Middle East, USA, the whole world, "but in every nation he," or "she, that feareth," reverences him, God, "and worketh righteousness, is accepted with him." See, we are righteous through the accomplished works of Jesus Christ. There's one thing being righteous, and there's another thing working that righteousness and walking in that righteousness that God has placed and made available to us through Christ. We are righteous, we are justified, we are sanctified, we are redeemed. And when we realize who we are now and what God says about us, then we can start to begin to practice and live in the truths of who God says we are in Christ. So we have to know and remember that God is no respecter of persons. He doesn't favor one above another. But to those that reverence him, respects God, and works righteousness, is accepted with God. And I absolutely love that. You know, God is not a respecter of persons, but he is a faith God, and he honors our faith. In 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 and 4, it says this, "According as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness." So God has given us and supplied us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, and it's through the knowledge of him that have called us unto glory and virtue. So it's through the knowledge of God, through the knowledge of who God is and who his son is and what's been made available and the things that God's laid out for us to follow so it goes well with us. And in verse 4 it says, "Whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these great and precious promises, you might be partakers of the divine nature," that nature of Christ in you, "having escaped the corruption that is in the world through the lusts." See, God has given us everything through his knowledge, and he's given us great precious promises that when we start to find out those promises to us and start to activate them by believing them, confessing them, and applying the principles of the word of God and the spiritual laws that God has laid out, then we can start to manifest his great goodness. And when our focus is on God and not on the things in this world, which is corruption, okay, and it's those things that captivate us when we look at the things in this world. But God says that, you know, we can escape this corruption that is in the world through the lust of it. This is not our desire. Our desire is to put God first. And God has given us all things that pertain unto life and godliness. Everything that pertains unto life and godliness is recorded in the pages of the Holy Scripture. If we want to prosper with God and live life in true godliness, then we need to go to the Holy Scripture to see what God has to say about that, and how God's believing people live their lives before God. So we got the wisdom of God recorded in the pages of the Word, and all scriptures God breathed. And that scripture, the Word of God, when spoken, when we're ministering, when we're reading, when we're teaching, is either reproof, correction, or instructions in righteousness. It's the doctrine of reproof, correction, or instruction in righteousness. This is how the three ways it will help us, so that we can be fully perfected unto good works. See, we've been ordained to do good works, and you're God's masterpiece. And what we're perfecting is the mind, is the mindset, the image in our heart. See, spiritually we're perfect, Okay, the spirit is incorruptible. It's incorruptible seed in you. You have eternal life. But the mind needs to be lined up with the truths of the Word of God. The image that we carry of ourselves in our heart is what we're going to manifest, is what we're also going to get in our future. How you think of yourself, how you look at your circumstances, your perspective on life. Okay? And it builds an image in you. And as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. So when we operate in God's principles and spiritual laws, when we apply ourselves to find out what God says about life and living, and we begin to operate in God's principles and spiritual law that he's set up for us to walk in, then we will begin to manifest his prosperity in every area of our life. And it takes time. It's not going to change immediately overnight where everything's flourishing. It takes time. We need to build the word in our heart. We need to recognize who we are. We need to practice speaking in tongues. Practice thinking those thoughts of God, that we set our minds on things above, not on the things of this earth. See, our priorities have to be in order. And we need to practice faithfully for us to begin to see a manifestation of what God has already provided for all of his kids. Just like any father and mother wants their children to be successful in life and to prosper, so God wants his children to be successful and prosper. As parents, we coach and give our advice and wisdom that we've gained, and we impart them to our children, don't we? Right? And it does not mean they're going to follow our advice, though. But nevertheless, as good parents, we are all encouraging our own children to do well, to apply themselves. And when they start to do well in school and later on in their workplaces, we're so proud and delighted in them. And God's blessed when we prosper. God's blessed when we prosper in our thoughts, in our hearts, in our confession, in our actions, in our finances, in our relationship, in our business. We're blessed. And that's a great witness to the truths of what God has laid out for us. And people will know that we're blessed of God. Well, God is the best parent around. And all his advice to us is written in the scriptures. And God has also given unto us his Holy Spirit. His very nature is a part of us now. So we really can be successful and prosper in every area of our life if we want to. But we need to know our Heavenly Father's advice and follow it. We need to learn from God and keep what we have learned in our hearts so that we can do it. So let's have a look at what God says in the Old Testament records. We're going to look at them in part, not in whole. And we're just going to see God's heart, his instructions, how he worked with different men and women of God, and the message that God gave these prophets, his chosen ones, to speak, to minister to his people. And in Deuteronomy chapter 5, verse 1, it says, "And Moses called all Israel," God's chosen people, right? "And said unto them, Hear, O Israel, the statutes and judgments which I speak in your ears this day, that the purpose you may learn them and keep and do them." See, like listening to this teaching is not only just listening to this teaching thinking that's a great sharing, brother or sister, but God wants you to pay attention to what's being said. He wants you to learn what's being said, and he wants you to keep what you've learned. You know, we receive the word with meekness and we retain it so that we can do it. God wants us to learn, keep and do. And when we continue to do that daily, then we continue to grow, the image in our hearts will change, our confession will change, the way we apply ourselves in life will change. Then God then begins to instruct them through Moses in verse 16, and God says in Deuteronomy chapter 5, verse 16, "Honor thy father and thy mother, as the Lord thy God hath commanded thee, that thy days may be prolonged, and that it may go well with thee in the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee." See, God had prepared a great land for them to walk in, a land flowing with milk and honey, prosperity. But God wanted them to be committed. He wanted them to be faithful. He gave them certain instructions because he knows that if they followed the instruction, they were going to prosper. They were going to be blessed. It was going to go well for the people. And it's the same for us today. It will go well for us when we start to listen and keep and do what God shows us, so that it can go well with us. And God wants things to go well with us. And when we do what God is showing, then our days are prolonged, and it will go well with us in the land. And then we're going to be those witnesses. We're going to be those shining lights. Deuteronomy 6:3 says, "Hear therefore, O Israel, and observe to do." Like, again, key words, observe to do. That's the purpose. The reason why you're observing to do it, the purpose is it may be well with thee, and that you may increase mightily. It's God's word for you to increase mightily. It's God's word for you to prosper and to be in health, to be that blessing, to be those examples of people that trust the living God, and that God is a faithful God to those that look to him. That you may increase mightily as the Lord God of thy fathers has promised thee. See, it's through these great and precious promises, okay, in the land that floweth with milk and honey. God made a promise to these guys that they were going to enter into the land flowing with milk and honey, but there were requirements. There were certain things that he wanted these people to do. He wanted them to have a heart to look to him, to listen to his voice, to do what God was showing them to do. Deuteronomy 6:4 says, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord." Verse 5, "And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy might." And that's the first thing that we need to do. We need to love God with all our heart, with all our soul, with all our might, with all our strength. Everything within us, that God is first. And when we got that, then we're going to start to be prosperous. Things will go well with thee. Verse 6, "And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart." It has to be in your heart. Believing comes from the heart. The image of what's in your mind about your life comes from your heart, is in your heart. So we want to get God's wisdom and words and understanding so that we can apply his insight, so that we can truly live this life that he's given us freely. Verse 7 says, "And thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up." In other words, constantly keeping this word living in your life, in the manner of life, in your conversation, in your conduct, in your habit patterns. And we make the word of God our habit pattern. We be habitual with God every single day. Verse 8, "And thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thine head, and thou shalt be, and they shall be as frontlets between thine eyes, and thou shalt write them upon the post of thy house and thy gates." Why? So they don't forget it. Verse 10, "And it shall be when the Lord thy God shall have brought thee into the land which he sware unto thy fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, to give thee great and goodly cities which thou buildest not." See, they didn't even have to do any work. God was providing these things for them, but he wanted them to be in a position to receive what he had provided. It's like I was sharing before, you know, you can have loads of money, but if you're no good at stewarding it, then you're going to lose it. If you're no good at stewarding the things in your life, then it's not going to prosper or benefit you. We have to be good stewards. Practice to become good stewards of the things of God and the things that God has given us, then he will prosper us. It's a part of the prosperity, okay, in our hearts and our minds. We take care of our hearts and minds. We take care of our relationships. We take care of our finances. We take care of who we fellowship with, and we take care of the things that God has given us. And verse 11 says, "And houses full of good things." See, God wants you to have the good things, "which thou fillest not, and wells dig, which thou diggest not, vineyards and olive trees, which thou plantest not, when thou shalt have eaten and be full." Then beware, when you've eaten and you're full and you've got everything, "then beware lest thou forget the Lord, which brought thee forth out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage." See, all of us at one time were in bondage, one way, shape, form, or another, especially if we didn't have the Spirit of God. Okay, but now we're set free. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's liberty. We're to stand fast in the liberty where Christ has made us free. And we stand fast by holding that word in our heart, making it the confession of our lives and practicing it. Verse 13 says, "Thou shalt fear," respect, "the Lord thy God and serve him." He wants to be first. "And shalt swear by his name. Ye shall not go after other gods, of the gods of the people which are round about you." He's saying, look, you don't follow any ways of the world. You don't follow any religious systems. But you come to me, the source of your supply. See, God is the source of our supply. And we go to him, the fountains of living water. Okay? And he supplies everything for us. He wants to be first in our lives. And when we understand that we, you know, that God has given us everything and that we just need to apply and appropriate it to our lives, then we're going to do it, you know, with a joyful heart. I'm so thankful for the word of God because now I got a direction in life. Now I know what to do. It's not that we don't know what to do. Sometimes we can think that we don't know our direction or we don't know where things are going. But if you just keep God first, he will do the work for us. We don't have to manufacture anything in our own strength. But he's going to do the work. Verse 15 says, for the Lord thy God is a jealous God among you. He wants to be first. Lest the anger of the Lord thy God be kindled against thee and destroy thee from off the face of the earth. So again, Old Testament records, but God is the same God. He doesn't change. See, when we don't operate in his principles that he's given us, then, you know, we can make room for the enemy to come in, to make us doubt God, to make us doubt the promises of God. So God says, you just observe and do. You keep what you're learning in your heart and you practice them. And you're going to be blessed. Then you're going to receive the things that I've made available. You're going to be good stewards of them. You're going to understand how you got them, why you got them, and what to do with them. Verse 16 says, you shall not tempt the Lord your God as you tempted him in Massah. Verse 17, you shall diligently keep the commandments of the Lord your God and his testimonies and his statutes which he hath commanded thee. Verse 18, and thou shalt do that which is right, that's righteousness, and good in the sight of the Lord. Why? For the purpose of that it may be well with thee. God really wants it to be well with you guys. And if things ain't going well, then you need to look at your life. You need to look at what you're saying, what you're believing, what's the image in your heart, what you're practicing in life, what your attitudes are, how you're being. And then it says, and that thou mayest go in and possess the good land which the Lord sware unto thy fathers. Verse 19, to cast out all thine enemies from before thee, as the Lord hath spoken. And when thy sons ask thee in time to come, saying, what meaneth the testimonies and the statutes and the judgments which the Lord our God hath commanded you? Then thou shalt say unto thy son, we were Pharaoh's bondman in Egypt, and the Lord brought us out of Egypt with a mighty hand, and the Lord showed signs and wonders and great sores upon Egypt, upon Pharaoh, and upon all his household before our eyes. And he brought us out from thence, that he might bring us in to give us the land which he sware unto thy father. So he said, you tell your kids you were in bondage, but I, God, delivered you out of the bondage, and I brought you into land flowing with milk and honey. I prospered you because you listened and you followed what I wanted you to do. And if you do the same, young children, it's going to go well for you too. And the Lord commanded us to do all these statutes to fear, reverence the Lord our God for our good always. It's for your good that God gives you specific instruction today also. In our day, in the age of grace, that we're to be led by the Spirit of God, that we can go directly to God. See, God wants to lead you. It's not that he wants men and women to lead you. He wants to directly lead you. And now he can do that if you allow him to. If you allow him to work in you by your spirit, by the Spirit that he's placed within you. That he might preserve us alive as it is this day. Verse 25, and it shall be our righteousness if we observe to do all these commandments before the Lord our God as he hath commanded us. See, Jesus Christ is our righteousness. He accomplished everything. Okay, and when we just gear up our minds to walk with God, then we'll start to manifest his goodness. See, when we're looking to God and doing those things that he would have us to do, and we're following faithfully, then we will absolutely prosper. And God wants us to be blessed in every area of our life. And we can be when we do what he shows us to do. It is the absolute heart of God for you to prosper. But God wants your heart in the right place first. And this is the thing. He wants us to put him first. He wants us to have his wisdom, his knowledge, his understanding, his insight. And when we start to live and work in those knowledge, wisdom, insight and understanding, then we start to prosper. And that we keep him first above everything. that we honor him with our lives and we serve others the bread of life. It's all about giving. God is the greatest giver. You can never outgive God. And he really wants you to be blessed. And so when I was going through these records, it just really inspired me. And it blessed me also, because Thursday, without even speaking to Kim about what I prepared here to share with you now, God had already showed us a similar thing. And so it just shows us we're on track, because we're allowing the Spirit of God to work in us and we're listening to the voice of God. And it's from there that we prepare, that we do the things that he wants us to do. He shows us what scriptures to go to. You know, sometimes we can sit down and think, well, I'm going to work this topic and I'm going to do this topic. But have we asked God? Have we allowed God to show us what to work? Have we allowed God to guide us in the things that he wants us to understand and read and teach and encourage others with? So it has to be led by the Spirit of God. Let's go to Deuteronomy chapter 28. And we see this record here again. A lot of us know it, but a lot of people may not know it. So I'll go through it again. Verses 1 through to 15, and it says this: And it shall come to pass, and listen to these specific words, if thou shalt hearken diligently unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to observe to do all his commandments which I command thee this day, that the Lord thy God will set thee on high above all nations of the earth. See, as believers today, we should be reigning and ruling in this world, because we brought the kingdom of God and we're manifesting it in our lives. And God wants us to be high above all nations of the earth, that the believers are the ones that are leading the way. The believers are the ones that are showing the love of God, the power of God, the wisdom of God, and the righteousness of God. And when we put him first, he will set us above, high above all nations. Not just individually, but God wants us to do this collectively within the body of Christ. But you can't do that if we're walking by our senses. And how do we know where the body of Christ is walking by their senses? Because there'd be divisions, there'd be envyings, there'd be strifes. And God doesn't want that. He wants us to have one heart, one mind. And when each individual keep God first, then we can move powerfully together as the body of Christ. But it starts with each individual. Okay, and God will work with that individual regardless of where the other people are. But God's true heart is for us to have that unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace manifested and operating, and so that the world will run even more swiftly, and that many more people will come to the acknowledging of the truth, that they receive Jesus Christ as their Lord, and that they receive eternal life, and that they also will manifest the abundance of God. Verse 2 says, and all these blessings, so God wants you blessed, right? He wants you blessed. Just determine this in your heart right now, that all these blessings shall come on thee and overtake thee if thou shalt hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God. It's conditional in the sense that we keep God first, that we observe to do what he's showing us to do, that we follow his knowledge, his wisdom, his understanding, his insight. Blessed shalt thou be in the city, and blessed shalt thou be in the field. He wants you blessed everywhere you are. Blessed shall be the fruit of thy body, and the fruit of thy ground, and the fruit of thy cattle, the increase of thy kind, and the flocks of thy sheep. Blessed shalt thou be in thy basket and thy store. Blessed shalt thou be when thou comest in, and when blessed shalt thou be when thou goest out. The Lord shall cause thy enemies that rise up against thee to be smitten before thy face. They shall come out against thee one way and flee before thee seven ways. The Lord, see, is God, Jehovah, shall command the blessings upon thee. See, God is the one that gives the blessings. He gives his wisdom. He gives his understanding. He gives his insight. And he gives you abundance. And he wants you to prosper in every category of life. The Lord shall command the blessings upon thee. Why? Because you're doing what he says. In thy storehouses, and in that thou settest thine hand to do. Whatever you do is going to bless, going to be blessed, and it's going to prosper. And he shall bless thee in the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. See, God is the one that gives us the prosperity. God is the one that provides the things. He doesn't want you to do it in the sweat of your brow, but he wants you to be led by his Spirit and allow his grace to go into operation because you're trusting in him. Verse 9 says, the Lord shall establish thee a holy people unto himself, as ye have sworn unto thee, if thou shalt keep the commandments of the Lord thy God, and walk in his ways, as conduct. And all the people of the earth shall see that thou art called by the name of the Lord, and they shall be afraid of thee. And the Lord shall make thee plenteous in goods. He wants you to have everything. He wants you to be blessed, but he wants your heart first. He wants it in the right place. In the fruit of thy body, and in the fruit of thy cattle, in the fruit of thy ground, in the land which the Lord sware unto thy fathers to give thee. The Lord shall open unto thee his good treasure, the heavens to give the rain unto the land in his season, and to bless all the works of thine hand, and thou shalt lend unto many nations, and thou shalt not borrow. See, God wants us to be in a position to be a blessing, and he has provided it all. And when we meet his conditions, when we line our lives up with him and put him first, then we are ready to receive the blessings that God wants us to manifest. But you have to position yourself in your heart and in your mind and find out God's wisdom. And so God wants you to be the lender. He doesn't want you to be the borrower. And the Lord shall make thee the head and not the tail. God wants you the head. He doesn't want you left behind. He doesn't want you behind in this world, in the things that he's given you. It doesn't honor him. When we're prospering, when we're being in health, when we're showing forth the blessings of God, we're honoring him, because we're saying, look, I follow God and his word works, because I've appropriated his promises to my life. And thou shalt be above only, and thou shalt not beneath, if, conditional, thou hearken, if that thou hearken unto the commandments of the Lord thy God, which I have commanded thee this day, to what? Observe and do them. Why? So we can keep them. We need to observe, keep, and do. Why? That it may be well with thee. Verse 14, and thou shalt not go aside from any of the words which I command thee this day, to the right hand or to the left, to go after other gods to serve them. There's nothing in this world that is worth following apart from God and the Lord Jesus Christ. But it shall come to pass, if thou wilt not hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to observe, to do all his commandments and his statutes, which I command you this day, that all these curses shall come upon thee and overtake thee. And you can carry on reading them. So God was showing two sides of the coin. Look, if you do what I say, because my wisdom and my insight about how to live life and how to do the things and how to activate my blessings, when you do them, then all these things are going to be yours. But when you go away from that, you're activating all these curses, all these wrong things that I don't want you to have. Today, in Romans 8:1, it says, there's therefore now no condemnation. Under condemnation is all these curses, poverty, sickness, disease, all these type of things. And it says, there's therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made us free from the law and sin and death. So when we're saying and living and doing in line with what the Father has set out for us to do today, then we are going to truly walk in the manifestation of what's been made available to us. We're going to walk in our freedom and that liberty that Christ made available for us when we confess Jesus Christ as our Lord and believe that God raised him from the dead. And the Old Testament is for our learning. And we have learned that God wants us to do well. He wants it to be well with thee. And we see it is 1,000% what God wants for us. And he wants us to prosper. But he wants our hearts in the right place, that when we have prosperity, it does not cause us to forget God and to run after other gods or the things of this world. But we use what God has blessed us with for ourselves and our families, and to be a blessing to others. And that we are the lenders, not the borrowers, that we do good with the things that God has given us with. See, Abraham listened to God, and God blessed and prospered him. God wanted him to be involved in Abraham's finances, just like he wants to be involved in mine and yours. Okay? He wants to be involved in every area of your lives. And when we put his word first, when we listen to his wisdom, his knowledge, his insight, his understanding, then God is well blessed, because he knows that he can get the things to us that he's made available. See, we need to activate it by our lifestyle, our confession. We need to also remember that the Old Testament, the currency was silver and gold, and it was crops and it was animals, and the investments were barns filled with hay and storehouses filled with grain for sowing and feeding animals. So we're going to have a look at the life of Abraham. In Genesis 13:2 it says, "And Abraham was very rich in cattle, in silver and in gold." See, God doesn't want you poor. God doesn't want you struggling in any area of your life. It's not God's heart. He rejoices, and he's blessed at the prosperity of those that looked to him, of his sons and his daughters today. So let us take a look at some of the fundamental principles of Abraham's prosperity, and we can really learn a lot from it. So if you go to Genesis chapter 12, I'll let you get there. Genesis chapter 12. And in verse 1 it says this: "Now the Lord said unto Abraham, Get thee out of thy country, and from thy kindred, and from thy father's house, unto a land that I will show thee. And I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee, and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing." This is the heart of God for all of his kids today as well. "And I will bless them that bless thee, and curse him that curseth thee. And in thee shall all the families of the earth be blessed." And verse 4 is the key verse. "So Abraham departed as the Lord has spoken unto him, and Lot went with him. And Abraham was 75 years old when he departed out of Haran." And the key verse is that Abraham listened to God and he obeyed God. And that's all we have to do. We have to listen to what God is showing by the Spirit, his wisdom, and by his word. And when we do it, then we're going to get blessed. So we need to listen and obey. Just like when God says, you know, and also Paul mentioned it in Ephesians 6:1, that children obey your parents in the Lord, that it may be well with thee. And God wants it to be well with thee. He really does. So if you're struggling right now, then just look at what you're doing, what you believe in. Are you practicing? Are you following? Are you committed to God, really? Because there's a lot of people that love God and they believe God, they pray to God, and but they're not seeing anything happen. And it may be because you need to find out the wisdom of God, put it into application in your life, and go to the people that understand these, you know, God's wisdom and the application of it. In Genesis 12:7 it says, "And the Lord appeared unto Abraham and said, Unto thy seed will I give this land. And there build he an altar unto the Lord who appeared unto him." So here we can see in this verse 7, that Abraham honored God who had prospered him. See, when God prospers us, we're to honor him. We honor him with our lives. We honor him with our substance. We honor him with all the things that God has blessed us with. We keep him first. And we recognize the source of our supply, who is God. If we go to Genesis chapter 13 and verses 5 to 9, we'll read. So Genesis chapter 13, verse 5 says, "And Lot also, which went with Abraham, had flocks and herds and tents. And the land was not able to bear them, that they might dwell together." That's Lot and Abraham. "For their substance was great, so that they could not dwell together." Verse 7. "And there was a strife between the herdsmen of Abraham's cattle and the herdsmen of Lot's cattle. And the Canaanites and the Perizzites dwelt in the land." Verse 8. "And Abraham said unto Lot, Let there be no strife." And God says today, let there be no strife. All right. "I pray thee between me and thee, and between my herdsmen and thine herdsmen. For we be brethren." What great wisdom there about division in the church, about strife, about arguments. You know, we're not going to prosper if we have hearts like that. Why? Because we're brethren. We're in the same body of Christ. We've got the same God. We've got the same Lord. We've got the same Holy Spirit. We've got the same scriptures, right? Verse 9, "It's not the whole land before thee." Look, there's such a great land. "Separate thyself, I pray thee, from me. If thou wilt take the left hand, then I will go to the right. Or if thou depart to the right hand, then I will go to the left." And here we see that Abraham was generous and he avoided strife. And that's a great principle that we can look at as believers, you know, we need to be generous in mercy, in love, in grace, and we avoid the strife. Where we can help, we help. Where we can be a blessing, we be a blessing. Because it's going to go well for you and the person that you're doing that for. Genesis 18 to 24 to 23 says this. Pre-adventure, there be 50 righteous. So this is when God was going to judge Sodom and Gomorrah. And Abraham said to God, look, you know, he knew that Lot was in there, his nephew. And he said to God, pre-adventure, there be 50 righteous within the city of Sodom and Gomorrah. Wilt thou also destroy and not spare the place for 50 righteous that are therein? Verse 25, that be far from thee to do after this manner, to slay the righteous with the wicked, and that the righteous should be as the wicked, that be far from thee. Shalt not the judge of all the earth do right? This is what Abraham was saying to God. And the Lord said, if I find in Sodom 50 righteous within the city, then I will spare all the place for their sake. See, God is not unrighteous, right? He's a you know, he's a kind, loving God. And Abraham answered and said, behold, now I have taken upon me to speak unto the Lord, which am but dust and ashes. So Abraham was showing his humility before God. Pre-adventure, there shall lack 5 of the 50 righteous. Will thou destroy all the city for lack of 5? And he said, if I find there 45, I will not destroy it. And he spake unto him yet again and said, pre-adventure, thou shalt be 40 found there. And he said, I will not destroy it for 40's sake. And he said unto him, oh, let not the Lord be angry, and I will speak. Pre-adventure, there shall be 30 be found there. And he said, I will not do it if I find 30 there. And he said, behold, now I have taken upon me to speak unto the Lord. Pre-adventure, there shall be 20 found there. And he said, I will not destroy it for 20's sake. And he said, let not the Lord be angry, and I will speak yet but this once. Pre-adventure, 10 shall be found there. And he said, I will not destroy it for 10's sake. And the Lord went his way as soon as he had left communion with Abraham, and Abraham returned unto his place. So, you know, Abraham had compassion for his nephew Lot. And we need to have compassion as believers as well. We can intercede to God on behalf of others. And so when we honor these basic principles, we too will begin to prosper. And there's nothing wrong with having an abundance for ourselves and family. But giving to God and being generous with others is a part of the spiritual law that we need to practice. We need to practice these things that I pointed out here. Okay, this is should be a part of us. So Proverbs shows this. So we know that Solomon was the richest man, that he lived in a time, in his time, and he was the wisest man. He understood the principles of prosperity. He was the wisest and richest man in his day and time. And in Proverbs 11, 24 to 25, it says this, there is that scattereth and yet increaseth, and there is that withholdeth more than is meet, but it tendeth to poverty. So when we withhold anything, it's going to lead to poverty. But when we're given, when we're liberal, it's going to be a blessing. Verse 25 says, the liberal soul shall be made fat, and he that watereth shall be watered also himself. As you give, you receive. What a man soweth, that shall he also reap. Right? We see that principle right there. We also see what Solomon said in Proverbs chapter 3, verses 9 and 10. Honor the Lord with thy substance, and with the first fruit of all thy increase. So shall thy barns be filled with plenty, and thy presses shall burst out with new wine. This is the principles to prosperity. We are to give. We are to honor God. And we honor him with our first fruits. Okay? With the increase of all of our substance. Okay? So this is the wisdom of God. This is the heart of God. He's showing us the wisdom. And when we operate in that, then we will start to see that our barns will be filled with plenty in every category of our lives, and thy presses shall burst out with new wine. Proverbs 28, verses 27 says, he who gives to the poor will not want, but he who hides his eyes from their want, that is, will have many a curse. So we don't hide our eyes from the needs of others That's not the heart of God. God didn't hide his eyes from our need and from what we needed in our life. He provided the things that we needed because he could. And if we're in a position to be a blessing, that's what God wants you to do, because he's blessed you and he wants you to honor him by doing these things that are recorded in his word. He's showing his wisdom here so that we can grab hold of it and we can utilize it and apply it in our lives. So Abraham's servant also gave this report about his master, Abraham's servant, in Genesis 24 and 34 and 35, and it says, "And he said, I am Abraham's servant, and the Lord hath blessed my master greatly, and he is both great, and he hath given him flocks and herds and silver and gold and manservants and maidservants and camels and asses." See, what do people say about us when they give a report of us? No. And we can see that Abraham's servant gave this great report because it was a true report. And Abraham kept God first. Abraham believed God. Abraham trusted God. He didn't look at his circumstances, but he honored God from his heart, in his living, with his substance, with who he was. And that's what God wants us to do. And Abraham's son Isaac was also prosperous. So when we are being prosperous, then we can teach it to others so that they can be prosperous. So in Genesis 26 verses 12 to 13 it says, "Then Isaac sowed in the land and received in the same year a hundredfold, and the Lord blessed him." This is God's heart for you to be blessed, guys, in every area. "And the man waxed great and went forward and grew until he became very great." And this is what God wants for all of his kids today. But we have to apply the principles. We have to position ourselves by having the right heart, by following what God shows us to do today. And when our hearts is in the right place, when God is first, then all those blessings will be activated in our lives, because we've applied the principles. Just like a farmer applies his principles to have a prosperous crop, he has to make sure the land is good, he has to make sure the ground is tilled, and he has to sow, and he has to water, he has to take care of it. And when he applies all the principles that a farmer applies, he's successful. Let's have a look at another very prosperous man in the scriptures, and this man's name was Job. And in Job 1:1 it says, "There was a man in the land of Uz, whose name was Job, and that man was perfect and upright, and one that feared God and eschewed evil." Again, this guy was mature, he was upright in his heart, and he honored God. He had great respect for God, and he eschewed evil. He ran away from evil. So great principles there. "And there was born unto him 7 sons and 3 daughters. His substance also was 7,000 sheep, 3,000 camels, and 500 yoke of oxen, and 500 she-asses, and a very great household." So that this man was the greatest of all the men of the East. God wants you to be the greatest in your area. He wants you to be the greatest in your town, in your city, in your country. Because it's a witness to God. It's an honor to God. And he had God first. He had integrity of heart. Job 1:10 says, "Hast thou," this is Satan before God, "hast thou," God, "made a hedge about him?" See, Job wasn't only prosperous, but God's hand of protection was around Job, and about his house, and about all that he have on every side. God wants to bless everything in your life, and he will when he's first. "Thou hast blessed the works of his hands, and his substance is increased in the land." So Satan recognized that God had prospered Job, right? And then we know the story of Job, that Satan attacked his family and killed the manservants, his kids, and put soils and balls on him, because Job kind of was worried, and he had fear in his life, which allowed the enemy to come in to do these things. And but Job kept his integrity, and he kept looking to God even through his tough times. He kept the integrity of his heart and his expectation on God. And in the end part, the latter part of Job's life, it says in Job 42, "And the Lord turned the captivity," the bondage of Job, "when he prayed for his friends." So God said to Job he had to pray for these miserable comforters, the people that hadn't really been encouraging, but they'd been more miserable comforters rather than godly comforters that were encouraging him. And God said to Job, now you pray for him. So Job gave by praying for these people. And it says, and when he done that, also the Lord gave Job twice as much as he had before. So don't tell me that is not God's word, God's heart for you to prosper. It's not God's heart for you to have material wealth and possessions. The point is, the focus isn't on the material wealth and possessions. It's the focus is on keeping God the first love of our life and doing the things that he wants us to do, keeping him first. And then the byproduct of that is this prosperity. He wants you to have it, guys. He wants you to be in the right position. Job 42:11 says, then came there unto him all his brethren and all his sisters, Job's, and all they that had been of his acquaintance before, and he eat bread with him in the house, and they bemoaned him and comforted him over all the evil that the Lord had brought upon him. And every man also gave him a piece of money, and every one an earring of gold. So the Lord blessed the latter end of Job more than his beginning, and God can do that for you too. For he had 14,000 sheep and 6,000 camels and 1,000 yoke of oxen and 1,000 she asses. He also had 7 sons and 3 daughters. God had blessed him back double. God had taken care of him. And if you're in a position where there's lack, where there's poverty, where there's sickness right now, God can restore that and turn that around for you. So we are righteous right now. We are righteous because of what Christ done. And the righteous will never be moved. But we can be moved if we're not following God, if we're not keeping him the first love of our life, if we're not desiring from him. And we can miss out on his blessings. And God doesn't want to do this. I want you to go to Psalms 112. And we're going to read from verse 1. It says, praise ye the Lord. Blessed is the man that feareth, respecteth the Lord, that delighteth greatly in his commandments. His seed shall be mighty upon the earth. The generations of the upright shall be blessed. Wealth and riches shall be in his house, and his righteousness endureth forever. Unto the upright, upright where? In the heart. There ariseth light in the darkness. He is gracious. God is gracious and full of compassion and righteous. A good man showeth favour and lendeth. He will guide his affairs with discretion. Surely he shall not be moved forever. The righteous shall be in everlasting remembrance. He shall not be afraid of evil tidings. His heart is fixed, trusting in the Lord. His heart is established. He shall not be afraid until he see his desire upon his enemies. He hath dispersed, he hath given to the poor. His righteousness remaineth forever. His horn shall be exalted with honour. The wicked shall see it and be grieved. He shall gnash with his teeth and melt away. The desire of the wicked shall perish. See, it's really is God's heart for you to listen right now to prosper. Okay, so take this to your heart. And we have looked in the Old Testament records and we have learned a lot. And God wants your heart and he wants you to keep him first. Then you will begin to prosper as you do what God wants you to do. He wants you to have prosperity, not for prosperity to have you. Okay, where it controls your life and it leads you away from God. God wants to be first. And when our hearts is in the right place, we can be first. I've heard of lottery winners winning millions of pounds and they've lost, within a year, they've lost all that wealth and their families are split up because they weren't ready to receive it. So God wants you in the right place and he wants you to have your priorities right. And it's by his grace, when we do the things, when we look to him, that we will begin to prosper. When we practice his spiritual laws and principles, we will begin to prosper. And I'm already seeing that in my life. I've already began to see that before. And then sometimes it's taken a dip where I've lost focus. But when I get back on it, when I get back focused on God, when he's first in every area to the best of my knowledge and understanding, then God just really goes over and above every time. And even when I miss it, God blesses me. Because that's his heart for us. He takes care of his kids. So like if my children were naughty, I wouldn't let them go without food, would I? You know, and God is the same. But he wants you to really be in a position to be a blessing. And if you think God met the basic needs of all his children in the wilderness, and they didn't go without anything, and they were rebellious, they were complaining all the time. And so, but God still had more in store for them. So we can change our hearts, we can change our minds, and we can get, you know, God first, 100% God first. You make up your mind. And when you do that, then you watch God go to work. Here, do exceedingly abundantly above all that you ever ask or think. Okay, but you have to be ready to receive. See, and the children of Israel, their hearts weren't ready to receive. Their hearts and mind had to be in the right place with God so they could go into the land and enjoy what God had provided. I just think it's just wonderful, wonderful wisdom. Let's finish off in Deuteronomy chapter 8. And we're going to read the verses 1 through the 20. It's great wisdom in here, and there's great learning that we can see and we can appropriate in our own hearts and minds and confessions and living, and how we deal with other people. So let's start in verse 1, and it says, "All the commandments which I command thee this day shall ye observe to do, that you may live and multiply." God wants you to live and multiply and go in and possess the land which the Lord swore unto your fathers. "And thou shalt remember all the ways which the Lord thy God led thee these 40 years in the wilderness to humble thee." God needs you in a humble position to prove thee, to know what was in thine heart, whether thou wouldest keep his commandments or no. See, is what you keep in your heart is very important. "And he humbled thee through their circumstances, through the lack of blessings he humbled them." Not that he wanted to withhold it from them, but they didn't activate it. They were, you know, different mindset of negativity, complaining about themselves, complaining about others, complaining about Moses, complaining about God. "But he humbled them and suffered thee to hunger and fed thee with manna, which thou knowest not, neither did thy fathers know, that he might make thee know that man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of the Lord does man live. Thy raiments waxed not old upon thee, neither did thy foot swell these 40 years. Thou shalt also consider in thine heart that as a man chastiseth his son, so the Lord God chastiseth thee. Therefore thou shalt keep the commandments of the Lord thy God, to walk in his ways, and to fear him, to follow God's ways. For the Lord thy God bringeth thee into a good land, a land of brooks of water, of fountains and depths that spring out of the valleys and hills, a land of wheat and barley and vines and fig trees and pomegranates, a land of olive oil, and honey." See, fruit, great fruit. "A land wherein thou shalt eat bread without scarceness, thou shalt not lack anything in it." This is the will and heart of God for all of his kids. "A land whose stones are iron, and out of whose hills thou mayest dig brass. When thou hast eaten and art full, then thou shalt bless the Lord thy God for the good land which he hath given thee." God wants you to be content and thankful, knowing who has provided for you. "Beware that thou forgettest not the Lord thy God." And, you know, when you get all this wealth and riches, you know, you could be distracted with the things of this world, the pleasures of this world, which are not going to lead to blessings, which it can lead to tragedy, you know, which can lead to division, jealousies, envies, strifes. First time it says, "Beware that thou forget not the Lord thy God, in not keeping his commandments and his judgments and his statutes which I command thee this day, lest when thou hast eaten and art full and hast built goodly houses and dwelt therein," God wants you to have them, "and when thine herds and thy flocks multiply and thy silver and thy gold is multiplied and all that thou hast is multiplied." See, God wants you to have them multiplied. He wants you to have multiplication of his blessing and abundance in your life. But he says, beware. Verse 14, "Then thine heart be lifted up, and thou forget the Lord thy God, which brought thee forth out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage, who led thee through the great and terrible wilderness, wherein were fiery serpents, scorpions, and droughts, where there was no water, who brought thee forth water out of the rock of flint, who fed thee in the wilderness with manna, which thy fathers knew not, that he might humble thee, and that he might prove thee, to do thee good at thy latter end." See, God wants to give you an expected end, but he doesn't want you to forget. He wants you to keep him first. and that thou say in thine heart, my power, my strength, my wisdom, my intellect, my cleverness, my power and my might of my hand have gotten me this wealth. Look at me, you know, boasting in yourself, thinking that it is you. But thou shalt remember the Lord thy God, for it is he that giveth thee power to get wealth, that he may establish his covenant, which he sware unto thy fathers, as it is this day. And it shall be, if thou do at all forget the Lord thy God, and walk after other gods, and serve them, and worship them, I testify against you this day that thou shalt surely perish. You're going to lose what you got, and you're not going to be blessed, and that's not the will and heart of God for you. As the nations which the Lord destroyeth before your face, so shall ye perish, if you forget God, right? Because you would not be obedient unto the voice of the Lord your God. See, God just wants your heart. He wants your whole heart, and he wants you to be in a position to receive the things that he's already made available to you in Christ. It's yours. You have to appropriate yourself, and it comes from faith. And the heart has to be built with the wisdom of God, the faith. He supplied that in the spirit as well. Everything's supplied to you. And when your mind's lined up with the truth of the word of God and the spirit of God in you, then you'll start to understand the wisdom of God, his insight, his knowledge, and his understanding, because you're desiring those things. You want to keep him first in your life. So this was really in my heart to share with you. I pray that it bless you. And I pray it encourages you. I pray that you go back over this and listen to it again, go through the scriptures yourself, and the Lord give you understanding and all these things. Let him open up your understanding to these things, because he certainly teaches me some wonderful stuff here, and I'm so thankful and humbled by God, because I know there's things that I have to appropriate. We appropriate the promises by our faith and confession, our living and our action, and these things take time. And when, you know, we're to deal good with people, we're to not have that strife, that envy, that division. But we're to have compassion for one another. We're to have that love for one another. We're to excite one another unto love and to good works, to speak words of life, words of encouragement. As believers, we shouldn't be speaking words of negativity, regardless of what someone's actions are. But we speak well of someone. We, you know, when we reprove someone, also is done in the spirit of meekness, considering ourselves, lest we also be tempted. So we just remember and be thankful for everything that God has made available, who we are in Christ today, that we have everything that God has made available in Christ. And as we appropriate that by our words, by our confessions, by our actions, by our attitudes, then we will certainly manifest those abundant blessings that God wants us to have. And there's nothing wrong in desiring those things. But God wants to be first. He wants your heart in the right place. So this was something that was really in my heart to share with you guys. I pray it blessed you. God bless.